This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 70 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. The second week of the NumberFire showdown happened this past week, and it was not pretty for us experts. If you're not sure what the NumberFire showdown even is, it's a contest that's running every Sunday over on FanDuel for the rest of the NFL season with me, Brandon Gadula, and Jim Saunas from NumberFire.com, and we're playing against FanDuel Friends Mode commissioners in what's been dubbed the NumberFire showdown. To qualify, just be a FanDuel Friends Mode league commissioner and have your contest run for cash. That gets you into the $1,000 commish free play the next week. Finish in the top three in the free play, and you'll take on me, Brandon, and Jim the following week. If you win, you get $1,000 or more. If one of us experts wins, we don't get anything, and FanDuel adds $500 to the next week's prize pool until a commish claims it. Like I said, it wasn't the best week for us this week. We saw our first challenger, username AshToAsh, take home the grand prize of $1,500 thanks to their first place finish with 128.14 points. AshToAsh used Will Fuller against us, and his lack of touchdown regression slapped me across the face and said, "You're an idiot, JJ." As a result, our grand prize for this weekend's showdown will revert back to $1,000 once again. If you want to learn more about how you can play against me in this very special FanDuel contest, you can visit FanDuel.com/NumberFireShowdown. That's FanDuel.com/NumberFireShowdown. As for now, let's look at this week's start sit candidates. At quarterback, I'm really into Tyrod Taylor this week. And truly, this has nothing to do with Kelvin Benjamin becoming a Buffalo Bill on Tuesday. In fact, I don't think we should expect to see Kelvin Benjamin on the field all that much, if at all. This is all about the matchup and Tyrod Taylor himself. This season, the Jets have allowed 5 top 12 quarterback performances, and the main reason that number isn't higher is because they've seen Jay Cutler twice, one of those games he got injured, and Blake Bortles once. One of those top 12 games was actually to Tyrod Taylor himself back in week one as well. New York has the 9th worst secondary according to NumberFire's schedule adjusted net expected points metric, and they're allowing the 11th most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. But here's the thing that's also really intriguing about Tyrod Taylor this week. The Jets have struggled against mobile quarterbacks. They've given up 160 yards on the ground to quarterbacks this year, which is the 4th most in the entire NFL. Tyrod Taylor actually exploited that back in week one when he rushed for 38 yards, which really helped buoy his overall performance. That rushing component will help a quarterback have a higher floor, and that floor will be even higher because Tyrod Taylor is playing a weak defense. I also love Alex Smith this week. The game with the highest Vegas total is not the one that's going on in the Superdome, it's the one that's going on in Dallas. Alex Smith will be quarterbacking one half of that high game total. That should automatically put him on your radar. More points scored means more opportunity for a quarterback. But digging even past the Vegas total, Dallas is a really good matchup for quarterbacks. Of the 7 passers that they face this year, 4 of them have scored 18 or more fantasy points, while the other 3 had reasons as to why they couldn't hit that mark. One was Kirk Cousins last week, who was playing behind a makeshift offensive line. One was Eli Manning in week one, who didn't have OBJ, and one was CJ Beathard, who's CJ Beathard. You can start Alex Smith with lots of confidence in this one. I also think the top streaming choice this week, as I mentioned in my 15 Transactions podcast, is Jacoby Brissett going up against Houston, and I don't mind Derek Carr against Miami either. On the flip side of things, I don't love Matt Ryan against Carolina this week. The Panthers have actually been pretty impressive against the pass this year, and they've done so against good quarterbacks. Only Carson Wentz has been able to rank in the top 10 in weekly scoring against the Panthers this season, and they've faced Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Tyrod Taylor, Drew Brees, and Jameis Winston. When you adjust for strength of opponent, the Carolina secondary is NumberFire's 6th best secondary. Now, I'll openly admit that Matt Ryan's numbers should be better than what they currently look like, just based on simple regression. He has a 3.9% touchdown rate this year, which is far below his career average. And the Atlanta Falcons have actually not been that bad offensively. They're 2nd in the entire NFL in yards per drive. It's honestly weird that Matt Ryan has scored 16 fantasy points in just 2 games this year. But this matchup on the road, regardless of this regression, the matchup on the road against Carolina is not a good one, and Matt Ryan should be benched. And so should Andy Dalton. You're not playing a quarterback against Jacksonville right now. You just cannot play a quarterback against Jacksonville. Say it with me. Don't play a quarterback against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their pass defense has been unbelievable. No quarterback has ranked higher than 19th in weekly scoring against the Jags. I don't care how easy their schedule has been. That doesn't matter to me. That is an incredible feat. Only two quarterbacks have scored double-digit fantasy points against the Jags this year, and five of the seven relevant passers to face them have thrown an interception. Let me put this all into context. Last year, the Broncos were best at holding opposing quarterbacks in check. They allowed 12.1 fantasy points per game to the position. This year, the Jags are allowing 6.9, nice, fantasy points per game to signal callers. That is the best rate that we've seen over the last 15 NFL seasons. Jacksonville is a tough matchup, and you should not start Andy Dalton against them. I also think Marcus Mariota should find your bench against Baltimore, and Eli Manning, just given his pass catchers against LA, not about that Eli Manning life. At running back, I like Doug Martin this week in New Orleans. You know, the biggest fear with Doug Martin is negative game scripts. The Saints are 7-point favorites in this game. The game's going to be played in New Orleans. There's a chance for a negative game script for this Buccaneers offense. That could hypothetically lead to more Charles Sims late in this game. But with that being said, Doug Martin's played in negative game scripts this year, especially that game against Arizona back in week 6, the Adrian Peterson coming out party. And despite that, Doug Martin has still seen more than 50% of the team's snaps in each game played since his Week 5 debut against New England. The matchup here is really good for Doug Martin. The Saints' rush defense has been their weak point on defense this season, ranking dead last in the NFL against the run, according to NumberFire's schedule-adjusted metrics. That's translated to fantasy points to opposing running backs. They're a bottom-half team in fantasy points allowed to the position. And Doug Martin is seeing a lot of work. Over the last 3 weeks, he's seen 77.16% of the team's carries, which is the second highest number among backs who are playing this weekend. The only other back with a higher market share than Doug Martin over the last 3 weeks that's playing in week 9 is Jay Ajayi. And Jay Ajayi is not going to see that type of work this week, but I'll get to more on that in a second. But I do like Doug Martin against New Orleans. I also think you should be playing my boy Aaron Jones against Detroit. Jones has now seen over 67% of Green Bay's carries over the team's last 3 games, which is one of the higher shares in all of football. Part of that has been due to Ty Montgomery's health. I totally get it. And that's the fear coming out of the bye. What if Green Bay starts to use Ty Montgomery more? They could. They very well could. But they should not. Jones currently has a success rate, or the percentage of positive expected points runs, of 52.46%. That's the best in the NFL among 50-plus attempt rushers. And when pairing that with his .20 rushing NEP per rush rate, he's been the most efficient runner in football according to NumberFire's database. Coaching staffs can be dumb sometimes, though. That's the problem. They still might throw Ty Montgomery out on the field more than they should. But Aaron Jones' talent combined with the potential workload makes him an every-week starter until we see Ty Montgomery on the field consistently. A deeper play that I like this week is Jonathan Stewart, who's going to be at home against Atlanta. It's very clear that after the Kelvin Benjamin trade, the reason they traded him was because they want to run the football more and they want to spread things out more. They want guys who can get off the line of scrimmage quick. They want to use Curtis Samuel, if we're being honest. Marty Herney, their GM, noted this after the Kelvin Benjamin trade happened. Jonathan Stewart himself, though, so far has had a decent enough 47% rushing attempt market share this year, and he's seen 11 or more carries in all but one contest in 2017. And he's seeing a lot of goal line looks. Goal line looks matter. They matter a lot. From within the opponent's 10-yard line, Jonathan Stewart has seen half of Carolina's carries. He's seen 8 of 16 carries. He ranks 14th in the league on those types of attempts. And at the goal line, within the opponent's 5-yard line, only 10 running backs have more carries than Jonathan Stewart's 6. The Panthers are at home, they're favorites, and they're going up against the Falcons. According to NumberFire's schedule-adjusted numbers, Atlanta has been average against the run, but they've also surrendered the 9th most fantasy points to the running back position this year. I think that you could do worse, given all these bye weeks especially, than Jonathan Stewart in this one. I also don't mind Adrian Peterson in a great matchup against San Francisco, and Lamar Miller should have a nice day against Indianapolis as well. A running back to sit, who I mentioned earlier, is Jay Ajayi. He has the highest rushing attempt market share in all of football this season. But here's the problem. Jay Ajayi is no longer a Miami Dolphin. The reason you're sitting him this week is twofold. We have no idea how the Eagles are going to utilize Jay Ajayi this week. Will he see the most carries in that backfield? I don't know that for sure right now. Will he see goal line looks? I have no idea. So there's risk involved in starting Jay Ajayi. But then on top of this, he's facing the toughest rush defense in all of football. You know, Denver's known for their secondary, but their rush defense has been out of control good this season. Only Orleans Darkwa has rushed for more than 54 yards against the Broncos this year. And they've faced Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, Ezekiel Elliott, and LeSean McCoy. There are so many reasons to bench Jay Ajayi this week that even if Jay Ajayi goes off, just know that your process was right. In that same game, I don't like CJ Anderson. And it's the same reasons that I talked about last week. In losses this year, CJ Anderson is not a good fantasy asset. In Denver's three wins, Anderson has averaged 18.47 fantasy points per game with a median score of 15.2. That's in PPR formats. In those games, he's carried the ball 20, 25, and 20 times. In losses, Anderson's failed to hit the double-digit points mark in PPR formats, and he's averaged fewer than 11 attempts per game. It's almost like game script matters. And he's got the Eagles this week. They're 8-point favorites and have allowed the fifth fewest points per game to opposing running backs. You couldn't ask for a worse matchup for CJ Anderson. I'm also not that into Bilal Powell against Buffalo this week, and Frank Gore against Houston. I prefer Marlon Mack in that backfield. Wide receiver is pretty interesting here in week 9, and I like Ted Ginn going up against Tampa Bay. Pretty much any way you look at it, the Buccaneers have a bottom 5 secondary in football. And that's naturally going to be big because Ted Ginn is a wide receiver for the Saints and he's going up against Tampa Bay. But they've also allowed the 7th most air yards despite already having a bye week. And they've got some injuries in the secondary. Brent Grimes might not be able to go this week. Ted Ginn has seen inconsistent usage. That makes him inherently volatile. But this is one of the best matchups that you can possibly find on paper for Ted Ginn. And I like Will Fuller against Indianapolis for similar reasons as to why I like Ted Ginn. Will Fuller's a better play, though. Even though touchdown regression is going to get the best of Will Fuller eventually, he's still playing around 90% of Houston snaps, and he's captured 18.8% of the targets over his last 3 games in that offense. He'll be on the field. He should be able to exploit this Indianapolis secondary. Because Will Fuller has been a big play machine. He's currently averaging 21.5 yards per reception, and according to airyards.com, he has a 21.7 average depth of target. That's over 3 yards better than DeSean Jackson, who's second on that list among wideouts with 20 or more targets this year. Will Fuller is getting the ball down the field. We see that every week in the highlights too. Meanwhile, the Colts have allowed the 4th highest average depth of target in the league to go along with the 2nd most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. This is quite literally the ideal spot for someone like Will Fuller. I also think Tyreek Hill is a good play this week against Dallas, and Marvin Jones, who's seen a lot of targets over the last couple of weeks, I like him against Green Bay. On the sit side, I think this is a week where you can sit Alshon Jeffrey pretty confidently. You know, like I talked about in my 15 Transactions podcast earlier this week, Alshon Jeffrey's peripheral numbers have not been all that bad this year. He's 2nd in the NFL in air yards, and he's seen almost 24% of Philadelphia's targets. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But there are 2 main reasons that he struggled in fantasy football this season. One of those reasons is what I talked about in my 15 Transactions column. He's not the main red zone threat on this team. Zach Ertz is the main red zone threat. Ertz has double the amount of red zone targets as Alshon Jeffrey has, and he has 5 targets within the opponent's 10-yard line, whereas Alshon only has 2. But Alshon Jeffrey has also seen a lot of tough matchups. The Eagles have faced Washington twice when the Redskins have been top-notch against perimeter wide receivers, so instead of going to Alshon Jeffrey, the Eagles have utilized a great slot matchup with Nelson Agholor. Jeffrey's also faced the Giants and Janoris Jenkins, the Chargers in their strong secondary, and Arizona and Patrick Peterson. Things haven't been easy for Alshon Jeffrey, and this week won't be much different. He struggled in tough matchups in the past, and this is another tough matchup. Denver's a team with great cornerback play, and they're often exploited by opposing tight ends as a result of that. Guys, the highest yardage total from an opposing wide receiver against the Broncos this year has been 64 yards, and that was to Johnny Holton, and it happened on one play. Johnny Holton had 1 target in that game, and all of a sudden he has the most receiving yards against Denver than any other wide receiver this year. But because Denver's cornerbacks are so good, I would fully expect Zach Ertz to be featured in this game. That's why Alshon Jeffrey is a tough start. And so is Pierre Garçon going up against Arizona. CJ Beathard is not a good starting quarterback, and the 2 games that he has started for San Francisco this year, Pierre Garçon has seen a combined 11 targets. That's a market share that's south of 15%. That's far off the approximate 22% share that he had pre-CJ Beathard. We know this passing attack is a mess. That's why they went out and traded for Jimmy Garoppolo this week. And while the Arizona secondary is not very good, one piece of that secondary is good. Patrick Peterson. And Patrick Peterson is going to be on Pierre Garçon in this game. Earlier in the season when these two teams faced off, Pierre Garçon finished with 4 catches for 36 yards. And that was with better quarterback play. Pierre Garçon is not a good play this week. I also don't like Rishard Matthews against Baltimore, and Randall Cobb is very tough to trust against Detroit. We're moving on to the tight end position, the dumpster fire of fantasy football, and the first start that I want to talk about is Vernon Davis going up against Seattle. The Seahawks haven't been awful against tight ends this year, but really this has everything to do with volume. Volume drives everything. Even if the matchup is tough for a tight end, don't let that trump volume. And Vernon Davis could see a lot of looks in this game. Not only could there be a negative game script, but Jordan Reed is out. And Jamison Crowder didn't practice on Wednesday. That leaves the slot in the middle of the field wide open for Vernon Davis to do some work. I'm also pretty into the dad running Jack Doyle this week at Houston. He has the 4th highest target market share among Week 9 tight ends, and he's seen a ridiculous 28.83% of the Colts' targets over the last 3 weeks. This week, he should see a negative game script in Houston, which means there should be a lot of passing, and the Texans have surrendered the 6th most points to the tight end position this year. Jack Doyle's a great play. I also like Jared Cook against Miami, and Austin Seferian Jenkins is a good play against Buffalo as well. On the sit end, as usual, it's almost impossible to find a relevant tight end who's worthy of a sit. So I'm going to talk about Austin Hooper here, mostly because of recency bias. People might have seen what he did last week and say, hey, maybe Austin Hooper is going to play a huge role in this offense. Maybe I should play Austin Hooper. But Carolina's been above average against tight ends this season, and it's not like Austin Hooper has this great floor week in and week out. Austin Hooper has still seen 2 or fewer targets in over half of his games this year. He is a super risky play in Week 9. To go along with this, I wouldn't be playing OJ Howard against New Orleans even though that game could be high scoring, and George Kittle against Arizona, no thank you. At defense, I talked about them in my 15 Transactions podcast, but I do like the Buffalo Bills against the Jets this week. It's not like the Bills have a bad defense. They rank 10th in the league according to NumberFire's metrics in overall defense. But this is still more about the matchup than anything else. The Jets have allowed each defense that they face to score 5 standard fantasy points, which gives them a great floor. It gives the Bills a very good floor. And that floor is created by the fact that the Jets have given up at least 1 sack and 1 turnover in every game that they've played. Even though this game is in New York, the Bills have a great foundation to work off of. I also think Seattle is a really good play against Washington this week at home, and you have to play Jacksonville. That defense is playing so well. The sit defense this week is the Denver Broncos in Philadelphia. Now don't get me wrong, don't play a fringe defense over Denver this week. This is more stating the fact that I don't think Denver is this obvious plug and play defense here in Week 9. The Eagles haven't allowed opposing defense to rank higher than 16th in weekly fantasy scoring since Week 2, and as I mentioned earlier, the team's offense has versatility to the point where they can avoid the tough Bronco cornerbacks. I actually think this matchup sets up pretty well for the Eagles' offense. But like I said, you may be forced to play Denver only because you're not trying to roster more than one defense this week. I understand how and why something like that can happen. But just know that I'm not overly high on the Broncos in this Week 9 matchup. 2 other defenses that I wouldn't trust, Kansas City at Dallas. There's no way I'd be playing them, even with Ezekiel Elliott's suspension. And while I do like some pieces for the Carolina Panthers this week, I don't really love their defense because that Atlanta offense, as I noted earlier, is pretty underrated. That's it for the starts and sits though, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in. If you've yet to subscribe to the show, please do so by going to iTunes, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Appreciate it, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow with the weekly mailbag episode.